For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
God bless you all this morning as we come around the Word of God. Let's open with prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that we have ears to hear and hearts to acknowledge what you are showing us by your Spirit. And I pray that we are encouraged and strengthened in knowing what good things belong to us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, today we're looking at the heritage of Abraham. And the heritage of Abraham means what Abraham had the legal rights to and how that's passed down through the generations, or how that's available to his descendants. In other words, that we have an inheritance. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12, and we'll look at Abram. Abram had his name changed later to Abraham, so it's the same person. Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12, starting from verse 2, it says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So we can see here that God was making a very great promise to Abram, and that great promise was one about blessing him personally, but also the blessing that would follow in that in thee, in Abraham, as his name became, in Abraham shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that's a great and important promise of Scripture, because it says that there is a blessing therefore available for all the families of the earth. That's a very important statement in Scripture. There's blessing. Let's look also in Genesis chapter 14. And in Genesis 14, starting from verse 18, it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he," that's Melchizedek, "blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." That "he" there means Abram gave to Melchizedek tithes. Now, this tells us something very important, and we'll see it in a moment again, that Abram, or Abraham, was blessed, and that's a wonderful thing, that he was recognized as being blessed, but he was blessed of God, the Most High God. Now, we know that God is possessor of heaven and earth. But when we read it here, it says, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." We begin to see another side to this, and that is that Abram was, by covenant with God, also a connecting person to being a possessor of heaven and earth. And so we can see that even the way that it's written here, that it's talking about Abram and it's talking about God. And we know that even just by covenant, the covenant that God had with Abram, that God's blessing, what God has, would be made available to Abram. So it's very important that we can establish an idea here that Abram was possessor of heaven and earth as well, even by inheritance or by promise. Now, if we just read a little bit more, so I'll just give you a little bit of background first, that Abram had had a fight with some enemies and had taken a great spoil from them. And Melchizedek came and met Abram after he had the victory and gave to him bread and wine. And then Abram came to the king of Sodom, who had his city ransacked. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, and it goes on. Now the point here is that Abram knew that it was God that was blessing him, and he didn't need to just take rewards from people to get blessed or to get rich. But notice he identified God as possessor of heaven and earth, and yet Melchizedek greeted Abram in such a way, not only to identify that, yes, God is possessor of heaven and earth, but really connecting it to Abram as well. And we know that because Abram had covenant with God, and you can read about that even in the next chapter, he made a covenant again and already made the promise before. We read in chapter 12 about God promising to Abram this great blessing to the families of the earth. We know that that possessing of heaven and earth, that is of being an inheritor of all good things, was made available. So if we look in chapter 15 verse 1, it says, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now we know that God is possessor of heaven and earth, and God is saying to Abram that he is a shield and exceeding great reward. In other words, great blessing. Now, if God is possessor of heaven and earth, then automatically we know that when he says he's an exceeding great reward, that that must be a great amount of blessing that's available. Also, the fact that when they made this covenant, besides the promise made before, is what things God has become Abram's things as well. That's what happens when you make a covenant. It goes both ways. You see, Abram says, I'm connecting to you, God. But then God is saying, well, I'm connecting to you. So what I have is made available to you. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. And he, that's God, brought him, that's Abram, forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So God is saying to Abram, he's going to have great descendants, and even like the stars. And of course, Abram takes God at his promise, at his word, and he believes him. And that's counted as righteousness. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, because we see now that this all happened in the Old Testament, but it has a great bearing and great influence and is pivotal for the New Testament. In Romans chapter 4, and in Romans chapter 4, we'll start from verse 13. And it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, this verse tells us that Abraham is the heir, that means to inherit the world. Well, how was Abraham, as he now is called, How is Abraham the heir of the world? Well, he got that promise from God. So God possessed heaven and earth, and Abraham became the inheritor. And notice there that it says that the promise made to Abraham is through the righteousness of faith. And verse 14 says, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect." And the reason for that is that no one was able to keep the law, and so then they would have failed to obtain the inheritance. Verse 15, "Because the law worketh wrath." In other words, you cannot be but guilty because you'll offend in some point the law of God. "For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now notice, Paul wrote this letter to Christians, that was Gentile believers, in Rome. And he's saying to them that Abraham is the father of us all. Now we know that Abraham is the father of us all not because of genetics or biology, but because Abraham is the father or founder of faith. That is, Abraham believed God and received for him from God the blessing, even that blessing should be in his seed, and that through him the families of the earth would be blessed. That means that the Gentile Christians, following after the manner of faith, are also ones who are inheritors of the same promise and also walk in this blessing that God gave to Abraham. Verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who," let's talk about Abraham, verse 18, "who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be." That's like when he saw the stars. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Now, in verse 23, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification." We can see here that he's saying that the promise to Abraham is not just for Abraham but for us. Now, yes, there's the promise about him having many descendants, but there's also the promise that's connected to that, but specifically a promise that says that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. And there's other places that say that all nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham, and we'll see that. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. So remember, God is possessor of heaven and earth. He makes connection with Abraham. So Abraham becomes inheritor. Not only would Abraham have his own great descendants, but also through Abraham all the families or nations of the earth be blessed. And we as Christians, now we understand, are entering into the same promise and are inheritors of the same promise. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, starting from verse 14. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so that's very important there, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Remember, God is possessor of heaven and earth. Abraham has that inheritance. He's the heir of the world. And now that blessing comes to Christians. Verse 16, let's look at that one. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this is really important, because now we begin to supersede general that you're just a descendant of Abraham through genetics, or through, you know, being connected by family relationships, or mere adoption, or things like that. We come now to understand that spiritually the blessing of Abraham comes to anyone who believes on Christ, because the promises are made, are pivoting on his seed, singular. Now this is also showing us another altogether different point that's very important, which is, do you know that letters in the Bible, you know, literally the letter S in the Bible is important? Did you know that? Because it said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not and his seeds, so with an S on the end, as of many, but as of one, seed, singular, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So every letter counts, actually. It's very important. And thankfully, and the Lord's blessed us with an accurate Bible that conveys to us, so we can understand specifically what he's communicating. Now, verse 18, let's look at that one. For if the inheritance be of the law, that is, of the way of just doing what Moses commanded, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Can you understand that the way to enter into the blessing of Abraham is by faith? It's not by going to temple, not by doing this or doing that, but really by believing Jesus Christ. And that's really important. Verse 29, it says, and if he be Christ's, remember Christ is the seed of Abraham, so let's just think about it. God is possessor of heaven and earth. He gives Abraham an inheritance. He makes him heir of the world. He tells him that in his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He tells him that there is that blessing for him, and Abraham receives by faith the promises made to him, and particularly the promise about his own multitude of descendants as well. And we understand that Christ specifically connects us to this promise, and this is the way in which Abraham's blessing comes to all the nations, because it's as nations believe on Christ, then, as we know, of course, Christ being naturally the seed of Abraham himself, but as nations believe on Christ, then it is fulfilled that all nations of the earth are being blessed, because Christ's blessing, or the blessing of Abraham through Christ, is being made available to the nations. So Abraham, therefore, is in this way an inheritor of the world. We understand also then that the blessing that God told to Abraham, for example, he said, blessing, I will bless you. And he said that if, you know, if anyone curses you, he'll be cursed. That the blessing is there available then for anyone who will believe on Christ. That blessing comes to them as well. And it is a legal connection that we have. We have a inheritance. Well, you know, inheritance, that requires and is part of a legal process, isn't it? Inheritances and things to do with having an inheritance is something you have legal authority and legal right to access. It's an actual thing that you can say, well, I have this so I can take hold of it and obtain it. Verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ's, so if we're Christians, then are ye Abraham's seed. And that's talking about the multiplicity of the seed through one seed, Christ. Remember, Christ is the seed, but also there's the multitude of the seed, and also the fact that if we're in the body of Christ, and Christ is the singular seed, and we're in that same body, then we too are of that same seed as well. So there's many ways to look at it to connect us to this wonderful truth that the blessing that Abraham had is present because Christ's power is present and Christ's way of conveying the blessing is present even to us today and to the nations. That means that that promise that God made to Abraham must be being fulfilled. It's being fulfilled right now. Verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what exactly was Abraham an heir to that we're heirs to, except that there should be blessing and should be a possessing of heaven and earth? So we're also heirs of that promise. So that means that the blessing of heaven and the blessing of earth are ours, are belonging to the church and are belonging to us as believers, that we have our part. And this is a wonderful promise then, that all these things are ours. Let's have a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about the apostles. You know, the apostles have wonderful, we'll say, anointings or graces in their lives and a wonderful message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 21. It says, therefore, let no man glory in men. So don't be relying on natural things. Why? He says, tells us, he says, for all things are yours. All things are yours. Verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. That's saying all of the things, because remember, God is possessor of heaven and earth. Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. We're inheritors of the same promise because Christ is possessor of heaven and earth. We also are partakers, and therefore Paul is telling us as believers, remember, he's writing to the church at Corinth. Were they the Jews? No. I mean, there was obviously some Jews at Corinth, but were they the Jews? No, he's writing to a Gentile church. That means it's applicable for us as people of the nations. People at Corinth obviously were Greeks, but it's not just Greeks, it's any Gentile nation, because in this promise, it's for all the nations of the earth, for blessing, that all things are yours. Verse 23, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And God is possessor of heaven and earth. Christ is possessor of heaven and earth. And if we belong to Christ, if we're Christians, then we're connected to this blessing of Abraham. This blessing is for us. Let's now go over to the book of Acts, and we'll finish in the book of Acts here in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we'll start from verse 19. Now, this is a message that Peter delivered to the Jews, but in it you can find things that are applicable for us, because when he's preaching to the Jews, he's obviously preaching a Christian message to the Jews, but it's a Christian message that has in it blessings or promises that are applicable for us. And so therefore, what we find in this passage is laying out some things about how we can understand this possessing of heaven and earth and all things are available. Acts chapter 3, starting from verse 19, says, "Repent ye therefore..." He's talking specifically to his Jewish audience there, but it's a message of Christianity. The gospel tells every man everywhere to repent. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ..." Yes. By the way, that hasn't happened yet, has it? Jesus hasn't come back. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Well, has Jesus been preached to the Jews in the past? Yes. Presently? Yes. Into the near future before he returns? Of course, it has to be. Verse 21, "whom the heaven must receive..." Well, that's where Jesus is right now, received into heaven. "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So wait a minute, now we find something very interesting. He's telling us that Jesus is waiting in heaven right now for something to occur. He's waiting for something called the times of restitution of all things. And what does that mean, restitution, but to pay back? And what legal basis is there for a paying back, except if you had an inheritance and it was stolen or not yet walked in? So if we have an inheritance and if we have a blessing available to us, the blessing of Abraham, and yet it hasn't been fully activated, or there's been things stolen and taken away from the inheritors, then that needs to have restitution happen. That is, to restore back to the heirs that which belongs to them. So Christ Jesus is in heaven. He's waiting at this time until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And then it goes on to talk something about that. And I'll just skip down. Verse 24 says, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Verse 25 says, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Now that's telling us what needs to have the restitution happen to it, which is the blessing to Abraham. If God, possessor of heaven and earth, gave to Abraham a promise which would be fulfilled over time to possess heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ came specifically to fulfill it, particularly as the seed, particularly, and that inheritance then is given to all the believers in Christ and through Christ, that is, even Gentile Christians, then it comes to us today as believers in Christ that we have an inheritance that we must have restored and we need to activate into. So this promise then, verse 25, "ye are the children of the prophets." Yes, he's talking literally the Jewish people were children of the prophets, but also we as Christians today inherit or are the spiritual result of the Old Testament prophets through Christ. Yes, so we also are the children of prophets in that way. "And of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed," which is a promise made specifically, as we're told by Paul, for Gentile Christians to walk in, not only because the result is Gentile Christians being blessed, because after all kindreds of the earth means many Gentiles being blessed, but the fact that in Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, in Christ the blessing or promise is for you, because it's for Christ or through Christ that anyone who's in Christ gets to walk in it. And so this is a really great promise for us. "And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." And then it says in verse 26, "Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Well, that's a blessing in itself, to be not living after sin, but after righteousness. Well, what's the result of that? If you're turned away from sin, then you must be keeping the law of God. In a spiritual way, you must be doing the right thing, walking in love, keeping his commandments, walking by faith. What do you think is the result of that alone? Blessings. And yet we are told we have an inheritance, we have this promise. And I will just conclude with this thought, that the Christian church in the last approximately 2,000 years has had many things where it has come into blessing and has brought blessing among the nations. Think about the blessings that the church has achieved, nations being converted to Christianity. Think about the many institutions that are Christian institutions that were started maybe, you know, 200 years ago, 100 years ago, whatever. Many Christian movements, missionary works, churches planted, all kinds of Christian activities, many prayers prayed, many financial contributions made for the gospel, many different households were churchgoers. That's all as a result of this promise that there should be blessing among the nations. And yet we're told we have to have a restitution of all things, and the restitution therefore must mean that we begin to be able to claim on the authority of God making the promise to Abraham, and that Christ specifically is the seed, and that we're in Christ, that every good and Christian work that has ever been done, every good and Christian movement, every church movement, missionary movement, any kind of financial enterprise, anything else, any organization or empire that was converted to Christianity, anything like that, becomes part of an inheritance that Christians are able to then say, hang on, that belongs to us. We're not going to let the devil steal that back away from us, but we should be able to say, no, we have a legal right to take the things back that have been stolen away, or also to possess or take hold of our inheritance. So that means not things going down for the church and Christians, but things going up. That means, and verse 24, let's look at that, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. That means that when you read through the Old Testament and you find all kinds of things in there, when it talks about, you know, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth, or all kinds of things about he'll make the wilderness into a blessed place with water and so on, that all of these pictures and promises are really showing the same thing, which is that all of the Christian activities and all of the godly things that have been done over the years, every day, over the last many years, are all things that belong to us as Christians, that belong to the church, and are things that, as they've been lost or taken away or not walked in properly, are things that need to be taken back and recovered, and have all those things come into the hands of believers so that we can claim anything. I'll just give you a practical example of something that we could claim, and it's just an example. Do you know that for a long time there were organisations that preached against alcohol? They were called temperance organisations. They raised money, they had people involved, they had buildings. I'm talking even locally. Do you know all of that work that they did, including many Christian works and quoting scriptures and preaching about holiness that they did? Now, today, that seems to all have disappeared. But do you know we have a legal right to claim those things? For example, I'm just giving an example. We can pray and say, well, you know, this is great Christian works that were done in our own history, in our own town here. Well, those things aren't lost. We shouldn't think, oh, the devil's got his victory today, all the money and the people and the, you know, the descendants of those people and the buildings and all their bank funds and every work that they did and all the message they preached and everything good that would come from those seeds sown. That's not lost. But we should believe and say, no, we're inheritors. We're blessed. There's so many blessings and things available for us to take hold of, to recover. And we believe in the restitution of all things. And we believe and receive that whatever works people have done wasn't in vain. Now society can have the recovery of such good things in it, of all that has been done before, of everything. And we can walk in that, and that's what we should believe. So let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the many good things that Christians have done in going forward, in teaching nations, in baptizing them. Lord, that this work continues. Lord, that the gospel hasn't come to a halt. And Lord, we know that the Great Commission hasn't started to fail. Our labour and the labour of those that has come before us has not been in vain, but their works do follow them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have our eyes open to see the truth. And we have a legal right. Help us to understand our legal access to our inheritance that we have in Christ. That as believers, so much wealth and manpower and understanding and wisdom and everything from the past and anything that's been planted, that can and is come to us. And we thank you for that. I pray that you help us be good reapers and know how to take hold of these things and obtain from you these precious and good things. We pray in the name of Jesus.